12, need a motion to accept.
Make the motion to accept the minutes.
Okay, Mr. Second. All in favor, sorry.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, good. Now, hold on, yes, I guess everybody heard my speech, so. So move on to resolutions. All right, very good. Well, resolution 276 is creating an EMS advisory board for the county of Ulster.
I think we should remove that.
Second, okay. All right, well, pretty much, basically what it said is creating an, advisory board for the, EMS services, it's kind of like our, fire advisory board. It's been sitting on there for the past, 2.5 years, and I know that the EMS coordinator reports to the fire advisory board usually give us an update, but, I think that this is a good idea. I quite frankly surprise it, but we haven't had one. I think it'll give, better representation throughout the county. Anybody has anything to discuss, any questions, any?
Years ago, I had gotten, calls from some of the, ambulance companies and some of the, volunteer ambulance services, they're all EMS. And they were asking me, because I was on the law enforcement and public safety committee, what's the pecking order of who gets called for what calls and where? And at the time, it was just, I think I talked to Art Snyder, because all the calls go through the E911 system, the emergency management, and then get routed to different, the different EMS companies. And I seem to remember that the two of them that, felt like they were slighted was the one in Kingston here, I don't remember the name of it, it's right on Cornell Street.
Grace?
No.
Grace ambulance?
Mobile Life, and actually the one that's in my town, the town of Sulphur, volunteer ambulance squad, because, they were stating that, I guess their acronym is CBAS, town of Sulphur, but they were getting more calls than Mobile Life, and Mobile Life is in Kingston, and they were going to Kingston. And I could never get an answer as to how they would route these calls. Because obviously a volunteer, ambulance service, they have to raise their own funds unless they pick up, I don't know what you want to call it, a fare. And then they bill either the patient's insurance company, or, if they're social security or Medicaid or whatever. And the privates are totally private, and they got, capital from either investors or their company. But I never really got anywhere as to how, people get called, because obviously you do need support. Well, I couldn't understand why someone would get called from Kingston instead of Sulphur, unless their ambulance is routed.
I can tell you what I know from Shandaken. They have coverage areas that they agree to among the different carriers, and they call first one, and if they don't get a response, then they, within a certain time, then they call the others. But as far as I know, that's done informally, and the idea of having the county have a coordinator.
Well, you said, I didn't know how it was done until I talked to Art Snyder, and he said it's just that the operators, they have a list of people, and if you say there's a coverage area. But I did have a meeting, as a matter of fact, ex-legislator Laura Petit and I, we spoke with both of the companies, and, we tried to come up with a solution, but, I don't know if it ever got resolved. But I think this is something that, could come before a council like that. And, instead of, not knowing what to do. And so if we do have an EMS coordinator, I think it would be a good idea to.
Is that a volunteer position, or?
Yeah, that's a volunteer. No, well, that was where we created the EMS coordinator.
Oh, yeah, the court.
I never had a complaint from anybody in Kingston, but 21 members.
That's why we have
huge.
We have a similar committee for fire advisory board. They do, and they're just like passionate. Yeah, it's, I think it's the only group that you're going to get to show up at the office. So you're just kind of just saying what they do. And it, you have productive meetings there all the time. So it's still a chance to have the concerns about things, especially with the radio, you know, issues that they're having, which comes from a lot of high. And yeah, it's, I think it's a good sounding point. You know, people can really, have a chance to discuss the issues, especially with the heroin epidemic that's been going on here. There's a lot to take in on. I think benefits from having that's my opinion. And then the only thing about the resolution that I had noticed that I had a little bit of concern of is the strict paragraph where it says that the goal of EMS is to provide treatment to those in need of urgent medical care with the goal of satisfactorily treating the injured, the injury, illness, and arranging for timely transportation. It's a 6-4 ad.
Like the bottom of
the
small paragraph.
Right. Now, my only concern is that the actual, is that what they do? Is that in, you know, I don't want to have language in there that's not, you know, related to what their actual duties are. So, I don't know. It was just a thought. Maybe that's something we can have thought for TJ. You know, John TJ, I think TJ is a person I reach out to. But, yeah, you don't want to put a label on what their duties are without being 100% sure.
I think that's what they do, though. It does say urgent medical care.
Right,
so if an ambulance is responding to a call, mm-hmm. whatever the situation is, they're the first responders. And sometimes what they do could very well save a person's life.
Sure. Yeah, no, and I agree with that. Yeah, but again, just something that we can probably reach out to TJ to make sure that's correct.
I mean, this is a whereas, and this isn't a local law, it's just a resolution created.
It's a resolution.
We're not telling them that this is what they're supposed
to do. I don't want them to be what they do misrepresented either,
Yep.
As far as we act. Okay. Well, any other discussion? No? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, we will move on to resolution 277. And this is approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 and been into by the county. Family of Woods Stop Departmental Services. Now, this I understand is a HUD grant being applied towards the shelter, the bus care program. For 15 additional housing units. I don't know, but maybe Ken, you want
to... They're not additional. These are federal dollars applied to very hard-to-serve homeless individuals in the county. It could be people with mental health issues. It could be people with substance abuse issues. It could be people with AIDS. And there's two resolutions. One pot of dollars is for... 33 units for individuals, and the other resolution deals with 15 units for individuals.
Where are those located? Do you know?
Their locations are confidential.
Oh, they are?
But I can tell you just informally that they're predominantly Kingston. They could be anywhere in the campus. And these are apartment units that are either owned by a family or rented, family rented them.
And the Shelter Plus program that promotes permanent housing, right? Is that also for people with disabilities and so forth?
These dollars in specific are for very hard to serve homeless individuals.
Right.
Okay. I'm over.
I'll second.
Any discussion?
Percent federally funded.
Yeah, we like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Well, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Very good. Okay, we'll move on. 270. Yes. Yep, this is basically the same one, except it's for individuals and it's for 33 housing units, is that right? All right. For discussion? The first one was for 15 units, and this is for 33. How do you end up getting doubling the amount of units for only $100,000 more?
The 15 units are for families.
Okay.
For your brand new.
Okay.
You're talking about a single room,
single bed.
That makes sense. Versus a larger, three to four bedroom.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. Pull the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Carried. Bonds, resolution 279. Mm-hmm. Approving the execution of contract amendment access of $50,000 that's entered into by the county Rondell Legal Services and incorporated on Department of Justice.
I'm over for discussion. Okay. I think clarification, because I remember last year we had this contract come up and it was almost a thought that we could do this ourselves, but what they do, are they process servers for child support, delinquent child
support? Not only child support, but all kinds of things that need to be served through the DSA.
Oh, okay. But
there's no way we can do this ourselves.
No, I understand. So then after they, serve or whatever, boom, 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 or they can't find the people, then, because I noticed that a lot of, recently, the Sheriff's Department has crack down on delinquent child
arrest.
Yeah, I know they arrest. All right, so after this, if they can't find this person, that would be the next step. I mean, they're just process service. They're out to look for the people and give them serve them with a court date or whatever, right? To come.
Yeah, I can provide you with some stats if you like for the first part of the year, first 6 months of the year. We used them 804 times. Give you a sense. Of that, about 10% of our, really on an emergency basis where they have to act within 24 hours. 284 requests within Kingston, Town of Ulster, and Port Union. 293 requests for the rest of the county. 115 requests in bordering counties, and they actually got 104 requests for out-of-state in New York City. So, and this contract has a very large scope, and believe it or not, a lot of the work that we do that I go outside the area and deliver. And that's one of the things, and we are through this every 7 years, and that's one of the things that really makes a difference in that process, is that we need to contract with a firm that can do the service outside of the area or outside the state.
And they've been very successful getting these dads or moms, whichever ones they are.
Well, there's a tremendous amount of legal servicing in that field that we do.
Now, do you know what was allocated last year? What was allocated from the county last year? I know it's 72.5. This year, do you know what it was?
No, it's only 17%.
It's only 17%.
Yeah,
okay.
I can't say how much was spent last year. But again, this is what we're doing is we're taking, this will be the second, we did a staff-based contract with 2 1-year options. So we'll take the second 1-year option, and then we'll bid this again next summer.
Yeah, and it's only used, you only utilize the services as needed, right? Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Okay, now, is there anything, what if you have a balance, what is left at the end of the year? Does it roll over into the next year?
It authorizes them to spend up to that amount. Right. That 804 that I said, I think we anticipate that'll be double that by 10 years out and 6 months in.
Okay.
Is the county share 17% of the 72,000?
Orders of protection.
Everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Extending the agreement with company that provides transportation to preschool children with special needs through the county's early intervention.
Early intervention and preschool.
Okay. I'll remove the full session. All right. Is there any discussion?
Intervention program is a great program. So it is. It was administered by County Community Action Group. The early intervention.
No, this is
through
social services.
Oh, it is through social
services. Services
provided. Oh, okay.
For 2 years of
age. Oh, all right.
Okay. No other discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Yes. This is Resolution 281. And this is basically the same, except it's a different service provider. Durham School Services. Yeah, and that's 50-50 state. So.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Resolution 282, and again, it's basically the same, just another service provider, Arthur F. Mulligan, and again, it's 55th state.
So there's that many preschool kids with special needs that they need three different?
Yeah, they cover different areas.
Also,
198 children to and from school, and for the summer session, which is July and August, 139 children, according to transport.
So we don't know what areas they cover, but they cover all different areas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Well, all right. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we will move on.
working with? Do you have
85? 283 and 285? Do you have 85? Oh, very good. Okay, now this is approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $2,000 in Chewbacca County for the multi-county development corporation.
Alright, you may not recall that last cycle, we approved you set up the state aid to expand the supported housing units that we were awarded some dollars as part of the deinstitutionalization. We were looking to move people out of state hospitals into community-based settings. And of course, these are supported housing units. The committee accepted the state dollars as the contract to put the units in place.
Do we know where they're going to be?
I think it just speaks to the fact that we don't have a lot of low-income housing in the county. We were strapped right now.
We've had these discussions for years because the city of Kingston is saturated. You can't get towns to encourage them to put up affordable housing. They won't do it. It's like a dirty word. You say senior housing, you're fine.
Yeah.
Affordable housing, they'll fight you tooth and nail. Such a disgrace, it really is.
We definitely need more.
I agree with it. Subsidized.
Mm-hmm. But
I agree with it.
I mean, a lot had to do with the economy of scale. I mean, if, from what I understand, I talked to a couple of builders a couple of years ago, and they wanted to build in the town of Sultan, but they were competing for three different areas in the state for state grants because none of these places used their own money or very little of it. So they actually got awarded a grant in another county, so they abandoned the building in this county. And that's also a big problem, is that, you know, we can't get people to, you know, just get investors to build without using government money, you know, or taxpayer money. And to be, you know, I mean, I don't know, it's just, it's part of the economy of building these things, even senior housing. It's Department of Housing money, you know, it's pilots on the taxpayer, you know, on the taxpayer's back. That's the only way to get both, unfortunately.
But I think if you had more towns expressing the will for affordable housing, you'd have more developers come in and do it. But they know you can't.
Revolving loan, you know.
Yeah, you won't get it through. It's been years we talked about that.
All right. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Now this is a resolution, 285 spending. Wells County budget to accept University School of Medicine grant. I understand that these are capacity money to use to support the initiative and make the New York State Welfare Child Foster System more responsive.
I have a question, and I know both of the names here, Barbara Sorkin and then Cheryl Kumar. She's the retired mental health deputy commissioner, so she's actually getting paid, but I don't understand what she's getting paid. Is she going to get $40,000, $50,000, or $8,000? This is like based on a yearly salary and the 4 months or whatever that she's working on.
Okay, this is a project we've had in the last couple of years. It's kind of special. These are dollars of all the counties in the state. New York City and Ulster County were picked to collaborate with NYU because of our expertise dealing with the foster care system. This is putting kind of a looking at trauma and children in the foster care system. We're doing a lot of work. We're looking at the prevalence of medications of children in the foster care system. And it's really cutting edge research trying to apply this criminal effect systematic change and it's a demo project where they're trying to make improvements statewide in the foster care system. So we were selected because of the expertise of our staff is involved in this intensive harvest work in particular. We share all their expertise with the criminal system. And then this is the second year of the project we've been doing this project.
Well, she's a very good person to be on.
Again, it's a real honor that the county was picked to participate in this project a year ago.
And then, what did they do with findings? Or?
They go back to NYU. Really, they use it at the state level to identify systematic change.
We're not the only county doing this, though.
We're the only county that has picked outside New York City.
Oh, really?
Managed research phase. Okay. There's a lot of work with the foster parents and the birth parents, and then also they're doing a lot of trainings, not only for our foster care staff, but also for the foster care families as well. And how to work with children that have been subject to severe trauma in their lives to make sure that they improve their outcomes coming out of the system.
Pretty well spent.
Yes.
Any other in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
With the permission of the chair, I just would like to bring a request from the subcommittee, the UND subcommittee of the Trails Committee. Mm-hmm. There are two resolutions in this month's resolution packet that deal with trails, and we would very much like to have the full support of this committee. The Trails Committee does answer to this committee, and the health benefits of trails we talked about before here and elsewhere. So I'd just like to ask for the support of each of the members of this committee and also offer that if there's information that you need or if you'd like to have us come, we come periodically to update the committee on the Trails Committee in general. But we expect there will be starting to be more resolutions, and if you'd like us to come at any point on any of these resolutions, Steve Rice is the chair of the committee, or the appropriate member of the committee, if there's a particular subcommittee that deals with it, we'd be happy to come.
Okay. Yeah, so that sounds good. Does anybody have any?
Well, those resolutions are going through economic development and tourism.
Yes, one is going through economic development and tourism, and
but it also has
so go ahead here as well because the trail submitted there.
Yeah, I agree. I would like to be on record as supporting those resolutions. It's been a long time planning, and I've had some conversations with some of the city aldermen, and we talked about their commitment back in April of 2013, and this is a project you can't wait for the last second to adopt. You have to be forward thinking, and I think that's what we're finally doing as a legislature. So
I agree.
I support 100%. I'd like to move that the committee.
That
the committee supported the resolution.
Does anybody have anything else? Carl?
Well, I would like to read them over again.
Sure.
Before I lend my support, because I want to understand. Because I've seen emails going back and forth between different legislators, pro and against. So, I might get
pro and against what?
Well, one of the resolutions basically puts the full faith of the Fulton County Legislature behind it, and in effect, I believe what it does is it closes down the the room.
Are you talking about resolution?
I don't know. Which one are we talking about?
You're asking a question, so I'm asking you. What are you talking about?
No, no. Craig, wondered if there was any other question.
Any other question?
What you were asking was that this committee endorsed those two resolutions, and I said...
The ones we're endorsing are funding we already voted for on capital projects. We already voted for them. Now, you voted to approve the contracts. Now you're voting to actually apply the money.
Well, there's 275 is the policy resolution, and 291 is the one that Jeanette just described perfectly. The 275 does not commit the county to do anything with the railroad or with the trails. It sets a general policy, and then each group needs to do further things to move forward under the resolution. It doesn't commit the county to any money, but it says that this is the direction that we, I would say, have been heading and are going to head. 291 is for funding that was already lined up and is a fully funded capital project that just needs to be implemented.
Does that answer any
questions? I mean, I'm looking at them right now.
Okay.
Maybe we should have, since we're going ahead, have an open discussion about how we feel about 275. I don't believe that resolution has any implication whatsoever with the 10th Commandment Railroad. I have to be very blunt with my thought process. This is establishing the fact that in 2016, we are going to go out to bid, which is a very responsible thing to do. Doesn't mean they can't.
Right.
You know, bid on another lease. But certainly, I want to know what else is out there. I mean, look, I'll lay it right on the table. Because I've had these discussions with other legislators and city officials. I would be there. In fact, I could not grant another lease to an organization that has had 23 years to prove what they can do, to prove their worth. And I speak from the city of Kingston and the results that we haven't seen, and the deplorable conditions that it has been forever until the past year, when they know all of a sudden now people are really taking a close look. So that's where I'm coming from. For me, I think it's time. We're going into 24th year. I mean, when you go stand out, you can't wait till the lease expires in 2016 and say, here's what we're going to do. That has always been the past practice of the legislature, arts management. You have an opportunity now, say, when the lease is up in 2016, it doesn't affect the court case, and it doesn't affect what they're presently doing. Because they have the lease. Whatever they're doing, they're doing. We're not stopping them.
Sure, I agree, man. That was the angle that I looked at when I originally read it, although, you know, being that we do have the council here, I would maybe a little bit of a leap in perspective as far as how you mentioned. It shouldn't have an effect on the outcome of the court case. I don't know if
the court case is for up to 2016, whether they are being ordered for the county to stop it right now.
Right.
In the middle, you know, they've got a couple more years to go. Or they'll continue. But it doesn't change the fact. Let's say they win in court, whatever they win in court.
Right.
Their lease expires in 2016. Yeah, okay, there's nothing else you can make of that.
Sure. Yeah. No, that's, I guess, how I look at it.
Yeah. And as far as legal opinion, you know, I've been here long enough to get at least different people opinions are every attorney. And that's all, they can only base it on, you know, their interpretation.
Sure.
It's the legislature.
Yeah, I don't think that that railroad is slightly under the impression that there is a possibility that we're going to read it at least. So, you know,
that's incredible.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't think that that's a possibility. But, you know, I'm obviously not on record how I feel about this. And then if anybody has maybe... Did you
catch the gist of what's going on? Yeah, a little bit. The ironic part about it is that we continue with the lawsuit just to drag out for another 4 or 5, 6 or 8 years, as opposed to allowing the lease to run out and then not re-up it.
Yeah.
It might be the quickest solution.
Well, they took the county.
Yeah, we didn't sue them.
They took the county. We didn't sue them.
Yeah,
they took the county to court.
Yeah.
So you have responsibility. Now, if something happens on any part of that track, we are responsible.
Yes, but I'm sure in their lease that they hold us harmless in a lawsuit.
I don't know about that. May I address that?
Sure.
In the lease, it requires them to carry certain kinds of insurances, which the railroad people have told me that they do not carry in sufficient amounts to allow me to go into the corridor. They've also told that to other members of the public that came to them in the Railroad Advisory Board, back in the days when it was still a board. In my hearing, they have told that to other people. They have denied a business owner who has property adjoining the corridor, they denied her the right to go across the corridor to get to state lands for the use of the people that are in, on the basis that they had insufficient liability insurance to cover it if those people were in there. So they used their authority through the Railroad Advisory Board to say no to people on the basis of not carrying enough liability insurance, which means to me that the county is probably at risk because not everybody goes to that board to ask for permission before they go in that board.
Well, in accordance with any contract, there's got to be a minimum requirement. So they can say that they don't have enough or whatever, because if they do not carry the minimum, that's de facto default of their lease, isn't it?
In fact, that's one of the things is the county had sent them a notice to cure. We believe we've looked at the lease. We believe that the following are the reasons why you're out of compliance with the lease.
They don't want to move for insurance?
I think there's concerns of the adequacy of the insurance. And there's a whole laundry list of items.
I would hope the county would stipulate the minimum amount of liability insurance in any lease.
Again, I believe that the county served the railroad with a notice to cure. If there were the violations in the lease, they went and got an injunction to stop us from enforcing that notice to cure. That's the basis of the law. So we did not sue them. They got an injunction, and now there's a court process around the injunction. So, again, we identified many issues with the lease where they were out of compliance with the lease, and we asked them to cure that. For example, they come, you know, that they're required to maintain a certain amount of to travel with a certain class one standard. They should have, you know, 28 miles at this point.
Right.
They have less than
mile a year.
They have less than 5 million, or excuse me, less than 5 miles of track that meet that standard today. Okay, so that's really the base of the issue, is that we identified deficiencies in the lease, the county attorney had served a notice to cure, and then they got an injunction to stop us from enforcing the lease. So that's kind of where that is. Again, probably a better conversation for the county attorney. But again, so the county did not sue them. We asked them to abide by the terms of the lease, and they're refusing to.
The fact that they have the lawsuit, is that... will that allow the lease to run out? Or
the reality is the lease expires no matter what the lawsuit becomes moot if they don't have a lease.
I have a question. So we can't talk with them publicly about, you know, what they want because of a lawsuit. I mean, could we bring them to the legislature to give us an informational meeting, you know, both sides, trying to figure out what the heck is going on, why they can't do what they're doing, why are they Why are they suing us? I mean, I know why they're suing us because of the... I'd like to know everything, and I don't feel like I know everything.
Well, I mean, I'm surprised you say that. I'm surprised you say that because this has been going on all of 2013. All of 2013. I can't tell you the number of times that I personally went and begged them to come and sit down and talk with legislative or legislative committees. They refused to do that. Wayne Harris was one legislator, one Republican legislator, that had not only admiration, but both sides of the aisle were comfortable whenever we had an issue that, well, we didn't know. You know, we don't know. If anybody could get anybody together, it was Wayne Harris. And he restarted the Railroad Advisory Committee, and they refused to show up. And he was so angry and insulted that he disbanded the committee again. And all we ever got from them was every month coming here telling us all the wonderful things they're doing. But we have 22 years of what they didn't do.
Well, that's
they are not good stewards of what we entrusted them to do. And I happen to believe, I really believe that, especially after reading an article today, I don't know any of those people from Ulster, Delaware, but they're a not-for-profit that has practically the same kind of rooms we have, and they have rail with trail in certain segments. And look at what they've done. Look what they've done. But this organization remains for-profit, and they sold stock. We don't know who runs the place, who doesn't run the place, who's in charge. It, just about everybody that comes and speaks in front of the legislature doesn't live in Ulster County.
Carl, that is a question for you to ask. Who are the shareholders of your company? I certainly don't know that information. I know a lot of people would like to have this information.
We know what we've earned for 23 years as a county, giving them the lease, and that's $40,000? $40,000.
We've given them $40,000.
They've given us $40,000.
Right. We paid over $1.5 million. $37,000.
So I'm just curious, is it possible for, I'd like to see a copy of the original lease.
Sure.
For my own edification.
I think we have.
Yeah, I know that they have provided Kathy with all the documents. You should have them available.
I've spoken to a lot of people that are far more knowledgeable about the subject than I am, but I looked at it from, all angles and all perspectives, and, I think probably the Democratic caucus will be the proper venue, but from the sounds of it, I think maybe, it sounds like probably maybe 19 or 20 legislators have made their mind up on this issue.
Well, I would like to take this opportunity and thank you, Craig, and Mary Beth. I know the press or those from the railroad are stuck on Lynn Archer because
sure.
I've gotten a few calls and I know
what's
going on here.
Sure.
But I want to thank you, really, seriously, because personally I think this is very forward thinking. And we go out to bid. If Castro Mountain Railroad comes back with a bid, the majority of the legislature thinks, okay, I think they've been terrific, let's go with them. God bless them. But there might be something out there that we could really, as a county, embrace. And I'll tell you the truth, I was talking to someone the other day, and I got real excited about this, and I don't know how many others are thinking about it. But they were talking about this, the little Tommy train or whatever they're doing. And that's like the 4 or 5 day event. You probably get a number of families that want to ride that. But you compare that with I'm talking now from what benefits the city of Kingston. And you can go from the city of Kingston to the Ashokan Reservoir or any direction, or to the walkway over the Hudson, I can see a lot, and I would imagine it probably will happen, an effort being made to see marathons run in here, half marathons, Ironman, half Ironman. I mean, you're talking, I can't tell you how many thousands of people now you're talking bringing into your area. And what an exciting, we see what we get just from the Kiwanis and the collaboration with HITS. HITS is an incredible organization. And they are willing, I believe they'd be willing to participate. I think this could very well excite them quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed that the railroad chose not to bring Thomas the Tank Engine and the Polar Express up to Phoenicia, up to Mount Trumper, where this would have been a huge benefit to those downtown, the downtown there. But why did they choose, you know, make, again, they're making investments in a place where it doesn't make sense. But most of their ridership is up in the mountain. In fact, I know that the group of Delaware County has had some success with Thomas the Tank Engine and others in a very similar venue to what it's like up in Phoenicia. So, yeah, I'm a little disappointed that they, again, once again, are making moves that aren't really going to help them in the long run. Because, again, I think that everyone agrees that, you know, we have a rich railroad and history in the county, that there's a time and place for everything. And we think that, you know, up west of the Ashokan Reservoir, up in that area, is a perfect fit. And it's supported by the town and embraced. And, again, instead of really developing and expanding and working with us to really make that a huge success, they're moving their resources, you know, scattershot all over the place, trying to be all things to all people. So there's a tremendous corridor that's just flying and rotting and not being used to the benefit of the public.
So the question would be, are we in a position, either individually or as a committee, to move forward with support for them?
I would just try to address Carl's inquiry about information on this. The government folks have come and presented to the Trails Advisory Committee, and the Trails Advisory Committee had some serious reservations about their presentation. They've done it for a couple of other committees. I think they did it for economic development and tourism. But they have a plan to present this Wednesday at the Railroad Advisory Committee meeting, which is being held down at
Community College.
And so there will be either the prior version that they presented before or a new version. If you want to see that, they also have it up on their website. But I agree with Jeanette that these resolutions don't deal with that. They deal with a general policy. And that general policy can be revisited if they come up with something that knocks everybody's socks off between now and the time that we begin to implement. But at this point, the trail communities have planning monies coming in, and we have work that people are saying, you know, they're coming to us with questions. What are you doing about this? Or what will you have stone dust here? Or will it be paved? We can't begin to answer those questions until we have the planning monies pulled down, implement, and start getting some of those answers. So it's a big help for us to have that. You know, I brought it up with the idea that individual members of the committee might support. It would be great if the committee as a whole would add itself, but if the committee as a whole isn't going to do that, then I think it would be great for individual members to sign on.
Well, I'm confused, though, because you're saying that the resolutions need our approval, but they're not in our packets. Why are you saying that?
It's not coming to this committee.
Right, it's not coming to this committee.
But you are a committee that the Trails Advisory Committee reports to.
Oh.
And so it would be supportive of the Trails Committee at our meeting supported these resolutions in principle. We didn't have the language in front of us. If we had, we probably would have asked you officially to support. But John and I are coming basically asking for your support informally, and Jeanette was, you know, Jeanette and Craig are both on the resolution, and we would love it if the health committee, recognizing the health values of this kind of approach, would support the resolution.
And that would be just a statement of support because it wouldn't mean anything in the committee. The committees would have to vote on the resolutions individually. I was confused when you said, I could see that the Trails Committee reports to us.
Okay. Who's the chairman of the Trails Committee?
Steve Irwin.
Oh, okay.
You know, and if I could share with you Craig also, because I've had discussions over the last couple of days with some of the aldermen and humans, and the rail, the Castle Mountain Railroad wants the section in Kingston from the plaza up to Dutch Village Apartments across Washington Avenue, which they use
flags,
men standing there stopping the most busiest four corner in a city. I mean, it's in front, that's where everybody goes to get to the thruway. It's a very dangerous situation. And I went over there today and I really took a good look at that. If they are successful convincing legislators that they should have that piece, the trail will be gone because you cannot do it. You need that connection. That's the major connection to where we want to go with the trails. It's a single track. I will tell you this much. I had a conversation with one of the aldermen that used to represent that ward. And the people, the people that live in Dutch Village, Stony Run, and all the, and most all those other businesses complain for years. They operate a locomotive where the smoke that comes out of it is absolutely incredible. And it's a hazard. It's a big accident waiting to happen. And it's not doing anything for the plaza.
But neither of these resolutions address the county taking that, section, those sections over right now.
That they are having this conversation with some of the council members in Kingston. And I said to them, if you'd like, I certainly can send you a copy, that in 2013, the city council unanimously endorsed, they not only said the trail project, they said the implementation of the trail project of County Executive Mike Hine. So they knew what they were supporting. Based on that support and the support of the county went, and it's written right in the resolution, went to the governor, went to federal representatives and state representatives. And we've already enjoyed millions of dollars of grants because of that support. So to change now in the middle of a stream, I'm not just talking now about city officials, which is not going to happen, but I'm just sharing with you that I had a conversation with one that used to be there and one that's there. Now, so I want you to know that exists. We got a copy of it.
I got to say, those are my old stomping grounds. When I was a kid, I was a paper boy, and my paper route went from Hurley Avenue all the way across Washington Avenue to Dutch Village.
Yes.
And that's when the trains were running. I don't know, what was it Conrail or who owned those tracks back then? They ran all day long, all night long, and no one ever complained about them. They never complained that there wasn't any economic development to this, to our area. And I used to walk over that bridge that supposedly now doesn't, isn't, the C9 bridge. Mm-hmm. I used to walk from Hurley Avenue to the Sunset Drive-In on those tracks. Mm-hmm. And the rail has a deep history, but whether or not, you're saying that people in the city of Kingston find that this railroad now is a nuisance when for 40 years or whatever the hell was, those trains barreled through there every day and every night.
It doesn't mean that people didn't complain about it, Carl. You might not have heard, but it doesn't mean people haven't complained. Nobody likes the railroads behind their house. Do you think it's enjoyable for people that live off of Fox Hall Avenue because they're affordable housing and they live feet from railroad cars that are constantly going? And they put them there because they're the least people pay attention to. And that's why railroad cars are here.
Well, I looked on Hurley Avenue. It was less than 40 yards, I believe, to the trash.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we have a lot of rainfall, haven't you?
All night in the summer. I haven't lived anywhere else today that I can't hear a train. Well, you know, that's the thing. We used to walk those trains. We have to yield to the trains coming by every 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Chris, I just wanted to say, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with a few different legislators, and I'm going to handle it. I mean, I think where this resolution is that say maybe 19 to 21 legislators that have made up their mind one way or another, and seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong from the feedback, is that my two colleagues to my left would like some more time to review this. So, I mean, I myself personally am not going to sit here and try and rhetorically persuade you. I think you should be allotted the courtesy of debating this in your caucus. So I don't think this is going to be something where we're going to make a statement on.
I just got to say, I'm on two county committees and three advisory committees. You know, besides everything else I do. I was on vacation from Thursday till today. I'm still on vacation. And I know Kathy called me on Thursday night when I got home. I'm not part of any of the committees that drafted these resolutions. The resolutions weren't up on the website when I left for vacation. And so I haven't actually had a chance to read them. I mean, so I don't mean to take you back on this. I'm just saying I haven't read them.
Well,
and you know,
you should read them. We're going to be one is caucus.
So I think at this point it's safe to say, perhaps on an individual basis.
You know, I'm back on vacation today. I still on vacation day, but I come to the committee because that's exactly.
You didn't take it on vacation with us.
What's it up there?
This
could have
been
booking
material.
No, because I had a conversation with Kathy, and I said when I got back. I got back today.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, I don't like that either. I mean, you just, but if, you know, if you're on board, you're on board. But
okay. Yeah, sure. We'll do that. I think that's very good. A good suggestion. Mm-hmm. Suggestion that we'll take back to the caucus. We'll see it.
Yeah.
You know, who's on board? But so at this point, you know, if you're individually supportive of it, then you're then welcome to let Kathy know. Like I said, I think you know where I stand. But I also sit on both the Trails Committee and the Railroad Committee. So no matter what I say, I'm going to get beat up.
And if there's any of that extra grant money around, we're about 1.9 million short. So if you want to send some down to my district, I'll be happy to.
For what? There you go. For what?
Yeah. West extension of our railroad.
Why are you
not
I don't know how many of you were there, but we had that DDP meeting out at where the heck did we meet? Where was it?
UCAS offices.
Oh yes, over at and they gave 1.5 or 1.6 million for the trail around the Ashokan. And they made it. Were you there, Chris? I'm sorry, I don't know if you were there.
Or
that meeting that the DEP director or whatever he is, the head of.
And where was that?
Out at the transit?
No.
Oh, because it was a packed house. And he announced that there is no way ever that there'll be a railroad allowed at the railroad area.
Okay. Old business before? Yes? No? Okay. You have to make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
There you go. Very good. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Did you get a chance to play golf yet?
No.
Don gave me a hit.
You know, but I'm going to win that.
I hope so. Don gave me a hit. He said, no, I got to sell my buddy a ticket and tell me already bought one.
Yeah.
That's why it happened. See, I thought maybe... That's awesome.